Perhaps the most important name in this regard is Gershon Scholem, who in the 20th century single-handedly reconstructed the history of the Kabbalah. And if you really want to introduce yourself to the world of scholarship about the Kabbalah, you start with Scholem. Scholem identified the manuscripts, the principal authors, and the ideas of the Kabbalah. He saw the Kabbalah as a unique experience, a unique phenomenon within Jewish culture, rather than simply a Jewish version of the general history of mysticism. So that although he knew mysticism's Sufism and Islam or Christian mysticism or other mysticisms, he never bothered comparing. For him, this was a unique internal development within Judaism. And therefore what you have in Scholem, was a German Jew who was very a dominant figure within the culture of Germany in the 20s and the 30s. He finally made his way to Israel, where he founded a whole department of the Kabbalah, the first at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. His story is an extremely interesting one because he hung out with all of the important Jewish intellectuals of this period, and therefore is not only an historian, but in many respects is a great thinker who contributes an enormous amount to the study of Judaism. But for him, this story is an internal story. And it is a history of ideas story. In other words, for him, the praxis of Kabbalah, the experience itself, was something that he felt he could not penetrate by reading the documents of the Kabbalah. So therefore, he read the manuscripts of the Kabbalists, he studied them, he tried to understand the structure of their intellectual construction. And this he presented in wonderful chapters. His major work was called The Major Trends in Jewish Mysticism, which is the classic work on the history of the evolution of this field in all periods, antiquity, the Middle Ages, and beyond. But clearly for him, it was primarily a history of mystical ideas rather than a history of mysticism. And it was a history of Jewish mysticism as opposed to, or Kabbalah, as opposed to a comparative history. In other words, he doesn't seek to compare it or to align it with Christian mysticism and so on, even though he speaks about occasional influences coming from the outside. Clearly, the mystics saw themselves as the bearers of an internal indigenous Jewish tradition, and therefore it flowed from within. In more recent years, in the last 20, 25 years or so, a younger generation of scholars, who are themselves now getting older, have challenged many of Scholem's assumptions, so that the field of Kabbalistic studies has become much more complicated as a result of newer interpretations of the Kabbalah. I want to mention just three names: Moshe Idel of the Hebrew University, Yehuda Libis, also of the Hebrew University, both of them students of Scholem, and Elliot Wolfson of New York University, who are among many other prominent scholars who have written considerably on the history of the Kabbalah. For Idel and to some extent Wolfson, the ecstatic Kabbalah and its emphasis transforms a history of ideas into a history of the experiential part of the Kabbalah. In other words, for both of them, particularly Idel, there is a need now not to isolate Jewish mysticism, but to compare it with other mysticisms. So therefore, all of them have studied more both Eastern and Western mysticisms and have attempted to situate Judaism within those histories rather than to isolate it on its own. Idel and Libis in particular have also challenged a dichotomy to be found in Scholem's work, which has to do with the notion that Jews were primarily legalistic, that is, they were concerned with Jewish law and its exegesis, and the Kabbalists came along to open up the spirituality of Judaism. A dichotomy which sort of reminds us of the dichotomy between the way Christianity saw itself in relationship to Judaism. Judaism being legalistic, the Pharisees being legalistic, you recall, and Christianity being more spiritual, religion of the heart, and so on. For both Libis and Idel, the Kabbalah emerges within Rabbinic Judaism itself. There is no such dichotomy. The rabbis were also interested in spiritual experiences, in esoteric experiences, and therefore, for Idel, who places the history of the Kabbalah right back in its early, early manifestations, in the beginning of the rabbinic period, there is a kind of indigenous mystical spirit which can be found within Judaism all the way back. And therefore, when the Kabbalists speak about the public awakening of their discipline in the 13th century, they evoke a tradition which already existed. It may have been hidden. It may have been not on the surface, but nevertheless, it was there. And what is the proof of the pudding, according to Idel? Because there was no Kripke controversy. No one rejected their interpretations. Unlike Maimonides, you recall, who created a major controversy over his philosophical innovations in Judaism. In the 13th century, the Kabbalists seem to be on the right side. No one protests their Kabbalistic, their mystical interpretations of Judaism. They are accepted because they believe to speak in the name of tradition. And apparently their constituency felt the same way.